May is crunch time on college campuses around the country. Final papers and exams mean grueling hours and mental exhaustion for students. For a growing number, one way to cope is cheating. And technology, especially the internet, is making cheating more tempting than ever.
A love struggle Romeo sings the streets a serenade.
On the lovely tree-lined campus quad at the University of Maryland College Park, a small art fair features music, crafts, and jewelry. Students mill around, taking a break from writing papers and cramming for tests. Juniors Richard Gaudos and Erica Becker-Marina say the internet has certainly made cheating more tempting.
You know, when it gets, deadlines, you know, last minute, you know.
I think maybe the internet might just make it easier for them to access different materials, and maybe harder for them to get caught because there's such a large variety.
The university's Honor Council expects to process more than 250 cases of cheating this year. That's a fourfold increase in 10 years. The administration argues Maryland students aren't cheating more, they're just being reported more often. But no one disputes that cheating using the internet is up. Andrew Carter is a student member of the Honor Council.
In most cases we do are plagiarism, and most plagiarism results from internet copying.
Donald McCabe, a Rutgers University professor and founder of the Center for Academic Integrity, says cheating is far more widespread than official numbers suggest. He says up to 40% of college students admit to cheating using the internet. That's double what it was just 2 years ago. But he says students he surveyed also view material and ideas on the internet in a fundamentally different way than they do printed texts.
You have many students who feel that if they go to a variety of websites and gather all this information and decide how it should be presented and what sequence, what points should be emphasized, etc., that the fact that it came from a public website relieves them of any obligation to provide citations for it. Many of them, particularly at the high school level, will say, well, the internet is a source of public information, so everything on there is available to anybody and doesn't need to be cited.
Most internet cheating is cutting and pasting from material online. Only about 5% is purchasing complete term papers from websites. Partly, McCabe says, the increased cheating is a reflection of the apparent erosion of ethics in the society at large, symbolized by the Enron scandal.
Certainly, there's a shifting morality. There's no question about that. Students refer to what's happened in a larger society and talk, you know, basically conclude what's the big deal with a little bit of cheating. At the same time, however, clearly when it comes to the internet, there is a lack of defined standards which students have accepted. In some cases, those standards are being defined for them, and they dispute them. They just don't think they're correct.
So the final exam for this class is scheduled for 9 a.m. on Friday in this room.
In Rouse Hall on the University of Virginia campus in Charlottesville, a professor prepares his class for its final test. Outside on the historic lawn, the center of this beautiful campus designed by Thomas Jefferson, Fania Gordon sits on the grass studying. Gordon says the internet may make cheating easier, but it has another effect. It can confuse ownership of ideas.
I think because more ideas are expressed, just like more ideas are made public by putting them on the internet, the possibility of something being mistaken for plagiarism, just because it's an idea that someone else may have had before, is greater. But I know definitely I've heard of plenty of people who have had original ideas or ideas they thought were original, and then a professor was like, no, I saw this on a website. This isn't your idea.
Across the campus at the International Residential College, fourth-year students like Camilla Figueroa and Besma Aljarbo agree. They say that the web has dramatically increased the amount of information we have and also made it difficult to separate ideas generated in our own minds from those residing in the collective mind.
What do I do the first thing I wake up? I turn my computer on, read my emails, I read the newspapers online, I read the newspapers from home. At the same time, I'm eating breakfast, drinking coffee, and watching the news or watching other shows. It's just, there's so much information. Sometimes we just don't know how much information we have in our heads.
I was just thinking about also the same writing the paper today, and I just remember, like, I'd write a phrase, and I'd think, did I come up with this myself? Or did I read this somewhere else? Or am I rephrasing? There's so much information, you don't really remember. I'm like, should I reference this to somebody? Like, where did it come from? Because was I intelligent enough to bring up this quote from my own, like, mind? So,
Patricia Werhain is a professor of ethics at UVA's Darden School of Business. She suggests it may not be so odd that students don't automatically acknowledge the ideas they get from the internet. After all, she says, the father of economics, Adam Smith, didn't seem to have a well-developed sense of intellectual property either.
Adam Smith doesn't footnote almost anybody. But I know where he gets his materials because I've read a lot of 18th century scholars. But there are places in his work where you might accuse him of plagiarizing, but we didn't have that convention then. I happen to think it's a very good convention because it helps you to sort out where your ideas come from. But I wonder if in 20 years you're going to have this interview, if things are not going to be quite, quite different.
Maybe 20 years from now, the internet will have revolutionized the rules of scholarship and the attitudes toward ownership of information. But for now, cutting and pasting and not attributing your sources is still considered cheating, and colleges have to figure out how to police it.
The room we're in now is the trial room, which the Honor Committee has been using for at least the past 10 years as the site of all of our trials.
At the University of Virginia, the main policing tool is the school's 160-year-old Honor Code. As former Honor Committee President Thomas Hall explains, it's run totally by students. The code requires the expulsion of any student convicted of cheating by a student court. A survey by the Center for Academic Integrity found that honor codes do reduce cheating by about half. The codes require students to take a pledge of honesty, often on each important test and paper. But though Virginia's honor code is among the strictest in the country, this trial room has been busy lately. Last spring, the biggest cheating scandal in memory erupted on the UVA campus.
I was sitting in my office and one of our honor advisors came in and said, "You're not going to believe what just happened." And I said, "Well, you know, I was just entering my second term." I said, "Well, you know, I saw everything possible my first term. There can't be any surprises, but this certainly was."
A physics professor, alerted to cheating in his classroom by a student, created a simple computer program that flagged papers with the same phrases. 122 students were accused of cheating. 41 have left school or were expelled. Some trials are still pending. The use of technology to expose internet cheating may be the most powerful policing tool and deterrent that universities have. But professors don't need to write their own computer programs. Suspect phrases from a student's research paper can be entered on search engines like Google to reveal sources. Professors are also turning to an internet service called Turnitin.com. It checks papers against a huge database. Turnitin.com says 10,000 instructors from 50 countries already use the service. UVA Spanish literature professor David Geis says the technology is effective.
It not only improves the situation for monitoring cheating, but I also think the existence of these programs and the knowledge they exist will diminish the temptation to use them.
UVA senior Corey Harvey says Professor Geis is right. Students now believe professors have the technical tools to catch them.
We know that our professors have the ability. We know that there are servers on campus that can take our paper, run it through the internet, and compare it to all the documents on the internet and tell us. And I think that in some ways that gives you, I mean, it gives you a heightened sense of what can happen. I mean, the chances maybe 20 years ago of a teacher going through the library and looking through all the books was nil. But now you know that your teacher can get you.
There might have been a time a few years ago, just as the internet was being born, that students felt a technical superiority to their professors. That spawned the belief that the vastness of the World Wide Web and the technical incompetence of teachers made internet cheating a free ride. But now it seems the technology that has made internet cheating tempting and easy is the very same technology that will help to police it, and maybe police it more effectively than ever before.